Today's Teisho will be on Case 46 in the Book of Serenity. Case 46 is entitled Deshan's Completion of Study. The clear ground where there's not an inch of grass for 10,000 miles deludes people. The clear sky without a fleck of cloud in the eight directions fools you. Even though this is using a wedge to remove a wedge, it doesn't prevent my mother, I was so good in science, and I got straight A's in math, and my mother wanted me to be a doctor. And I was talking to my sister, you know, recently, and she said, you know, our mother had an affair with a doctor. This was after her divorce. And I was stunned, because I had this image of my mother that did not square with that, you know, but it's quite possible. And now I understand why she wanted me to be a doctor. But she thought, you know, this will bring you all kinds of success. You know, you'll get a medical degree, you'll work in a hospital, you'll get a big paycheck, you know, you'll wear a white coat, you'll walk around in this building with a white coat on. People will look at you like you're the master of life and death. And instead, I got interested in poetry, you know. And poetry, by the way, is perfectly useless. I promise you. And that is what makes it so wonderful. It's so wonderful. Now, you know, the world is full of English professors who have destroyed poetry by attaching all kinds of purposes to it, right? But actually, poetry is bigger than professors of poetry. You know, and so, you know, basically when you do your koan, you know, if you're trying to achieve a goal, you're making yourself miserable. But when you fail your imperial exam while working with the koan, suddenly you're liberated into the openness of the moment and into the openness of your life. And this is what koans are designed to help you experience, the real openness of your life. You know, I have been reading this Tibetan guy, Traleg Rinpoche. He just died, but he's a wonderful. His school of Tibetan Buddhism is very similar to Zen. We have very similar roots. And I was reading one of his books, and he was talking about this Tibetan belief in the bardo. The bardo. If you ever want to read a wonderful book, read the Tibetan Book of the Dead. You know, because it describes all the stages of dying, and it tells you what to do at various stages if you want to have a propitious rebirth. And you know, the bardo is this state between life and death, this transitional state. Well, you know, actually, we in Zen don't really, you know, we don't put much in, we have very little interest in these things traditionally. We just haven't paid much attention to them. And one of the reasons we haven't paid much attention to them is because we sort of think that the bardo there's not just one bardo. There are lots of bardos. You know, we live many lives in this life, you know. And, you know, between one moment and the next, there's a kind of openness or emptiness. It's a little bit like dying, you know. Failing your exams is a little bit like dying. And, you know, losing control of things is a little bit like dying too. You know, when you're disoriented or when you're lost, that can feel terrible. But you know, that's how change happens. By allowing yourself to be disoriented or lost, you're in a kind of bardo state, right? You know, so koans are very disorienting, you know, for a reason. You know, so, you know, basically, there's a koan that goes like this. If you have a staff, I will give you one. And if you have no staff, I will take it away. See, now, that's a great koan, because, of course, if you have a staff, why would somebody give you one? And if you have no staff, what could he take away? So it makes no logical sense, right? And it's disorienting. And if you sit with it, you know, you keep coming back to it, you have to treat it as though there is an answer. And you definitely have to try to resolve the koan. But you can't think it through. You have to approach it in a different consciousness. You know, so you have to be open to the, you have to be open to the possibilities of the moment. You know, we're not very good at being open to the possibilities of the moment. We prefer to have a clear beginning, middle, and end, and at the end we get a diploma. You know, we don't like to be disoriented. We don't like to be groping blindly, as we say, right? But actually, being disoriented, being lost, is the only way we can get outside of our traps, our mental knots, and our self-deceits, and experience life in a new way. There's no other way to do it. You know, so you know, we created this world as human beings. We've created a world full of contradictions that lock us in, like first grade, second grade, third grade, and so on. You know, and it's so hard to get out of those because we've been sitting in school, so to speak, for 20 years. You know, so it's so hard not to think in those terms. And you can't just say, well, I know that this is artificial, therefore I will not allow it to influence my behavior. Because that it's not that easy, right, to break these mental habits. You know, so koans operate at a much deeper level. You know, they lead you into confusion. They lead you into a bardo state, which is a little bit like dying. You know, if you're going into a place that's totally blank and dark in your sitting, and you're totally disoriented, that is indeed a lot like dying. That's definitely a bardo state. You know, and just as you sort of have to die a little, but when you die, you can come back in a new life, in a new form. You know, and so, you know, working through koans is really a matter of going into this confusion and sitting with this uncertainty, this not knowing, and just allowing yourself to be dumbfounded, you know, if you want to put it that way, until something begins to arise, something begins to emerge. You know, it's like you're sitting there waiting, and something begins to take shape. And it's like seeing with new eyes. It's like a new gestalt, you know. If you've ever looked at like a piece, you know, you can look at like a, I've had this experience a number of times where I've been looking down at like a Persian carpet, you know, beautiful Persian carpet. If there's one under your feet and there's furniture around, you look down and you know, you see a bunch of designs on the floor, on the ground, but they don't make any sense, you know. It's just a bunch of colors and lines. But, you know, if you step back a little bit, you begin to see the pattern. You begin to see, oh, there's a pattern here. And you recognize repetition, and you recognize repetitions of color or, you know, clusters of shapes, you know. And it all begins to cohere. You know, that's really like the brilliance of a Persian carpet. It's, you know, well, anyway, you know, working with koans is like that. You know, you're groping blindly, and then all of a sudden, you see the pattern in the carpet. And it's not the pattern you wanted. It's not the pattern you expected. It's a real discovery. And that's a moment of, you could say, liberation or breakthrough. You know, this is what we call in Zen Kensho, which is opening. Kensho, the word Kensho means opening. So, you know, we humans close ourselves in. these artificial structures. And it's very hard for us to get out of them. We think we can think our way out of them, but you know, thinking our way out of it doesn't work very well. You know, you can't really be your own therapist, for example, you know, because, you know, basically you can't think in new ways, even if you try. Your thinking is stereotyped, and it's inescapably that way, unless you can get somebody else looking at you from the outside to interpret your experience in a different way. Well, koan training is like that too. You know, your response to events will be stereotyped. You know, you'll just drag in the same old assumptions unless you have some kind of like crisis. And koans, you know, can be a little difficult to work with because they create like a little mini crisis. You just don't know where the hell you're going. And at first, this feels very uncomfortable. You know, for the first 10 years, it's uncomfortable. But after that, it's great. You know, because actually, you know, people live a long time. You know, it takes a while to become comfortable with uncertainty. And you have to develop a certain kind of trust in life. You know, trust in life. It's like, you know, you're in your kayak and you're going to go down the rapids, but you don't know what you're going to face, right? And you just have to trust the water. You know, you just have to trust the river. That's sort of life, right? You don't know where this is going. You have your paddle and you're in your kayak and you just have to you have to trust the river. And that's a tall order. We don't really trust the river, but the river is who we really are. The clear ground, where there's not an inch of grass for 10,000 miles, deludes people. See? The clear ground, where there's not an inch, we don't see the clearings and the openings in life because of our presuppositions, right? Our assumptions and our investments in certain ways of thinking. The clear sky without a fleck of cloud in the eight directions fools you. You know, we're so busy with everything down below, we don't look at the empty sky above us. Even though this is using a wedge to remove a wedge, that's koans, using a wedge to remove a wedge, it doesn't prevent taking space and hanging it in space. A single mallet on the back of the brain, that's sort of like koan training, particularly observe appropriate technique. Great Master Wan Ming of Deshan said to the assembly, when you get to the ultimate end, you will find the Buddhas of all times have their mouths hung on the wall. There is still someone who laughs, ha ha. If you know this, your task of study is finished. So, you know, all of the people who heard this koan thought, my study will be finished when I get my diploma, and the Roshi shakes my hand and says, you are now enlightened. But your study is finished when you realize it's never finished. Gathering in, holding closed the throat, wind polishes, clouds wipe. The waters are chill, the weather is autumn. Don't say brocade-colored fish lack taste. Fishing through the old autumn waves, one hook of moon.